the word go forth that the torch has been passed.
Time and chance have put us not only at the edge of a new century and a new millennium.
Our fate as a nation and our future as a people.
But if no one among us is capable of governing himself,
that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
And a world refreshed by freedom seems reborn.
This week, it's a special inaugural edition of The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape. Now here's your host, Laura Lawson.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. It is your first lady of wine, Miss Laura Lawson, your Chardonnay sipping diva, welcoming you to the weekly show that's all about the grape and all its glory. As you can guess, today's theme is going to be about the inauguration. But of course, we can always find great tangents to go off on that. I have promised my producer I will keep my politics to myself, but that doesn't mean we can't play a little bit along the way. We've got a great show set up for you today. Of course, we're going to have some fabulous facts about your presidents and their wine drinking habits, but we're also going to take a bow to another president, Bruce Walker, president of the Zap Association, and that'll be a lot of fun to talk about and get you insider information on the festivals coming up. We also have Jennifer Rosen, and Jennifer Rosen is the cork jester, and she has a lot of great insights on some presidential drinking habits and also some really witty, innovative ways to look at this great world of wine. Most importantly, we have your calls and your emails to help round out this show. I kind of lied to all of you a little while ago in our New Year's Eve show, and I said that I never do New Year's resolutions. Well, I decided I had to. Actually, my producer decided I had to, so we might as well have some fun with this. I have resolved that I'm going to keep up with my weekly blog on the Wine Crush. So I encourage those of you out there who don't get quite enough of my mouth to go to winecrush.com, check out the blog, and give me your 2 cents worth. Like I said, it's under threat of shotgun, so it may be a little more innovative than the show can be, but you never know. Please do check it out, and while you're there, if you have a wild hair to ask a question, you can do so at info@winecrush.com, and if something I say on my blog just really, really gets under your skin, then by all means, please call and let us know about it, and you can do that at 877-4-CRUSH-1. Well, hail to the chief. Of course, it's about time they got my theme song correct. But now that we have moved past that, of course, it leads into the bulk of the show. I know you have to be as relieved as I am that all the politics, all the politicking, all the campaigning is finally behind us. And we're going to welcome Barack Obama into the White House coming up this January. But something to think about. No matter how much politicking goes on, no matter how relieved we are it's behind us, it's constantly with us. And something, when you think about wine, we drink actually to forget politics. But wine is a great way to level the field. You can't exactly profess your bipartisanism when it comes to wine. You either like it or you don't. And that's the closest thing we get to two different parties. But just like anything else, there is a dark side to wine. And if you don't mind, I'm going to step up on my soapbox again to start the show a little bit. We talk about politics in the White House, but I'm not really sure how much you realize politics as a whole plays in the wine business. Interesting. For those of you who subscribe to the Wine Spectator, I encourage you to pick up the latest issue. And all you have to do is go to the first segment about news. The first article you get is Sonoma Winemakers Clash Over the Expansion of Russian River. You flip the page, you get Coonawarra Vineyards in Danger. And the third thing you get is Brunello Remains 100% Sangiovese. Most people would ask, how is that relevant to me? These three things are going to play a huge factor in what you're drinking in the upcoming 2 years. Regardless of whether you buy things off the bottom shelf, the top shelf, all of these things are being controlled by the insider politics that goes on in the wine business. Gallo, the great grandfather of California wineries, they're stepping up and decided, well, we have this small little vineyard that's not quite in Russian River, but I think it should be. And because of that, they're going to have the whole AVA changed. What's the wine growers and the winemakers' response to it? Well, I realize it's not in the AVA. I realize that this little vineyard tastes nothing like Russian River, but we're scared to tell them no, because they may not buy our grapes from us anymore. They may not let us produce our wine. So yeah, what the hell? It's only 200 miles outside the AVA. We'll let it be included. So, is this the future of politics and wine? He Who Has the Most Wins? Where does that sound familiar? Coonawarra Vineyards, for those of you who follow Australia, lovely, wonderful Cabernet vineyards, some of the best that's produced down under. The government wants to put a road, a bypass. Get this, the bypass will allow tourists to go see the wineries easier, therefore generating more tourist dollars and tourist tax. Hey, the only catch, they're going to put the road right through the vineyards. That kind of defeats the purpose for most of us, doesn't it? You want to go see the vineyards because they produce great wine. So these wineries now are going to have the vineyards ripped up so you can have a road to go get to them. All right, that's politics plan B. I like the way they think in Australia, kind of like we do here. Finally, Brunello to remain 100% Sangiovese. For those of you who have followed the show, you know I got off on a tangent about the wine Brunello. They're saying that it wasn't 100% Sangiovese, so certain vineyards were going to declassify their wine until the testing came through. Well, the testing has come through, and the big producers have been qualified. Yes, you can go ahead and declare your Brunello. Well, the little guys came up and said, well, we can't. We only missed it by a percentage point, so I think we ought to lax the laws a little bit so that we can put something besides Sangiovese in. Well, the big producers in Italy stepped up and said, absolutely not. We're 100% Sangiovese. The rest of you should be. I want to note one interesting point about this. The founding father of Sangiovese, the family that developed Brunello 7 generations ago, is the family that's advocating that they kind of changed the formula now. They say, hey, listen, instead of having 100% Sangiovese, let's add 5% of another grape. Who was around 7 centuries ago to tell you if it was 100% Sangiovese then? Something tells me that the founding fathers who created the actual wine probably have a handle on how the wine should taste. And that's what all this comes down to. How should these wines taste? Why are politics being involved in this? It's being involved because there's more money to be had and more money to be made. So I encourage all of you, follow these stories as they go along or pick up your local magazines and read about how all the big money is going to alter what you're drinking and your personal palate. Well, today is about the inauguration and today is about political pundits. So I have a couple interesting things for you. The first, we have elected Barack Obama into the White House. But according to the San Francisco Chronicle, we did this by the wine vote. So, for those of you who drink wine, apparently you're the one that elected Obama in. Because when you looked at the facts, McCain swung the states that produced only 4.3 million gallons of wine. Obama swung the state that produced 773 million gallons of wine. So if you want to look at it, you want to blame anyone, blame the wine drinkers. We're the one at fault. All right, we're going to take a small break right now, but when we come back, we'll have Miss Jennifer Rosen calling in to give us some great ideas and some witty repartee here on the Wine Crush.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? You're not alone. Increasing prices and the costs of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153.
If you're self-employed or run a small business, you know your business bottom line. But do you know your bottom line when it comes to your family's health insurance? The Mega Life and Health Insurance Company helps self-employed folks and small business owners focus on the bottom line every day when it comes to their health insurance plans. Here's the bottom line. If you don't have the right health insurance plan, you could be in trouble. Check your health insurance coverage today and call Mega, where the bottom line is quality health insurance designed for the self-employed and small business owners.
Call now for your free health insurance quote. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. That's 800-700-5437. Marketing plans vary by state. Not licensed in New York. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Association group plans, where available, require association membership.
Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities.
Have a banana.
Eating well.
Have two bananas.
And playing.
Come on, Baloo.
Go together like best friends.
You better believe it.
With the food pyramid, the bare necessities of living healthy are easy.
That bring the bare necessities of life.
It gives you just the right amount of grains, vegetables, fruits, milk, and meats and beans.
Crazy.
So eat right.
You eat it?
You're gonna love the way they tickle.
Be active.
I'll move. That's it.
And don't forget to have fun.
You're lots of fun, Baloo.
That's the way to be the best.
You're all right, kid.
At anything you do.
Yeah, man.
You can go to mypyramid.gov to play some games and find out more.
Me and Baloo, we've got things to do.
This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor. Or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Let the word go forth from this time and place to friend and foe alike that the torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I am your First Lady of Wine, Laura Lawson, continuing on our show about presidents and wine, and of course the upcoming inauguration of Barack Obama. So we're continuing with our cute little wine facts, and I thought this was interesting. In 1870, Lucy B. Hayes banned alcohol from the White House during her tenure there. She was a lady of temperance movement. Perhaps Betty Ford should have thought along the same lines. But, interestingly enough, Hoover had absolutely no problem serving wine in the White House. The catch was he was serving during Prohibition. So, never a dull moment in our White House when it comes to the great and noble grapes. But I am sure I can only scratch the surface of great presidential fun wine facts. Nothing, of course, close to what our upcoming guests can do. We have Miss Jennifer Rosen of the Cork Jester. Jennifer is the author of Waiter, There's a Horse in My Wine, and the Cork Jester's Guide to Wine, both winners of the Gourmand World Cookbook Awards for Wine Literature. Her weekly wine column called Hilarious, Informative, and the Very Essence of Wine Fun, which makes, of course, Jennifer the perfect guest for me at the Wine Crush. Jennifer, welcome to the Crush.
Hi, Laura. How are you doing?
I am doing wonderfully. How are you today?
I'm just great. I wanted to add something to your Prohibition presidents.
All right.
What you just said about that. Because Warren Harding was another one who was, he also publicly supported Prohibition, but he had very different standards for himself. And he would have these weekly poker games that were apparently so well lubricated that one time he gambled away an entire set of White House china.
Ah, I like the man. I wish I knew where the china wound up. That would be a great story to tell your grandchildren.
Yeah, don't break that.
Stop it. Put it down. They already drank all over it. Well, Jennifer, tell me about the Cork Jester. How did you get into the fabulous world of wine and have such a dark sense of humor like mine?
Well, I've been writing about wine for about 7 years and a weekly column for the Rocky Mountain News in Denver and written a couple of books. And the latest project is a wine game called Wine Teasers.
Wine Teasers. Tell us about the game.
It's a sort of Trivial Pursuit format game, and you're asking questions, and you have to answer them. You get clues, and you fill your wine cellar with a certain number of bottles to win. But it's got lots of, it's got the kind of questions that, you know, you can either play the game with your friends, or if you're just the kind of person who'd rather sit there and read questions at the bar, it works very well for that, too.
Yeah, it keeps you entertained. Plus, for those of people who like to cheat, they can sit there, study all the questions, then play the game later and convince their friends they're true sommeliers.
Hey, I didn't know anyone else did that.
Oh, hell yeah. We've been cheating like that at Trivial Pursuit in my family for about 15 years.
Oh.
People get bored, they sneak off, they read the questions, they think we're geniuses.
We wrote it especially so that somebody like you can play with somebody who knows absolutely nothing about wine, and you both have an equal chance to win.
That's what I like to hear. Once again, we're back to our level playing field. That's what we like.
Yeah, and so many people, when we were making the game, and I'd say, you know, do you want to come over and try out these questions and play? And they'd say, oh, well, I can't play anything like this with you. You know, I'd feel like an idiot. And, you know, I had to convince everybody, no, that's the whole point here. We have there are options where you get to steal other people's cellar, depending on how you roll the dice. And there's also, there are enough questions that are strange enough that neither you nor I nor anyone like us would know the answers to.
Well, tell me what else. How did you get interested in wine? How did you get interested in presidents and wine and all these fun little details?
Well, to start with wine, probably like most people, actually when I was about 10, we were allowed to have Lancer's Rosé at our birthday parties. And for anyone who doesn't remember, that comes in a crockery bottle, and it was pink and fizzy and sweet and just absolutely heavenly when you're 10 years old, and it gives you this nice little buzz. And I was just hooked from there. And then I grew up and started reading a lot about wine, and I was kind of collecting all these facts about it as though they were like baseball statistics, but I couldn't afford to drink any of it. But I was one time at a dinner party, and I was kind of yakking with the host about wine across the table and apparently boring everybody else, and finally a guy sitting next to me said, why don't you shut up and write a column for my paper instead?
Wow!
So that's how I started writing, and as soon as I started doing that, you know, basically just staying one page ahead of whoever I was writing for, that's when I started traveling around the world and visiting all these wineries and really learning, you know, so much more about wine than you can from a class or a book or anything.
I think no matter how many times you can sit and listen to lectures, whether it's from Cobrand CEO for anybody, you don't learn anything till you go and do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true of anything you learn. You got to do it. But there's something about also being in the wine country and walking around the vineyards and seeing, you know, why did they do it this way? What does it mean? And then tasting it in the glass and knowing what that means. And then what I love to do is, I mean, I love blind tasting. I love to get a glass that I know nothing about and try to pin down, you know, what is it and where it's from and when and why. And what's fun about that is it's a kind of, you know, it's a Sherlock Holmes sort of game. And the more you learn about what it is you're smelling and tasting in there, the more you learn about what that means, what it tells you, what the clues are. But it's also the kind of thing that no matter how good you get at it, anybody can fake you out.
Oh, anyone can. I'm a running proof of that. I've sat through exams all the way up for all of them. I can't drink. I can certainly tell you what's in the bottle after I see the bottle, assuming I remember what the bottle was. But as far as actually being able to sit down, I can get faked out with the best of them.
It's fascinating because it just tells you they're making so many different wines, so many different kinds of ways. And, you know, there are these areas, and you think, okay, a Riesling from Germany. I mean, how could anything else smell or taste like that? But as soon as you think that, you know, you're in Australia and you taste one.
I did a tasting down in Charlotte, and what they did is they did five of the big California cult classic wines. And there is a little winery in North Carolina called Ray Lynn. And just for Minas, the guy who was running the tasting threw Ray Lynn Category 5 in the middle of these five cult wines. I'm talking Harlan, Screaming Eagle, all these things. The poor little Ray Lynn came in second out of these tastings, and you have never seen a more abashed group of men than what you saw that day.
I love it. Because I'm a big proponent of not spending that kind of money anyway. I mean, I think it's very important to know the difference between the value in just a naked glass of wine as opposed to the value in the bottle with all the knowledge. And, you know, if people want to spend that kind of money and really enjoy the idea of the scarcity and the prestige and all that, and that's part of what they're enjoying, that's fine.
Get more power to them.
It's a big different thing from saying this wine actually tastes better than something else. And I find that, you know, those, you know, the kind of guys who take you to their cellars and show off everything and, you know, want you to be very impressed and tell you all the numbers, all the statistics, how many points and how much everything costs, and then, you know, they give you a glass of White Zinfandel to drink. And these guys, I mean, you can fake them out all the time.
Oh, you can.
Blind taste them on, you know, some Argentine $10 Malbec, and, you know, they'll like it better than their great big expensive whatever it is because, you know, it's too tannic to even drink.
Well, you and I both know what these big wines are called, and for those of you who are still wondering what we call these wines, please check it out on my blog, and Jennifer and I can laugh about the big blank wines that we get stuck with on a regular basis. So, Jennifer, just real quick, how do you find all of these little factoids? How do you find all these cute little things that go into the wine teasers?
First of all, I love strange trivia, and I'm a real avid researcher, and I'm constantly collecting all kinds of strange facts. So once we decided to do this game, I just had so much fun stuff to put in there. And then some of it, I mean, it is educational. It's just we do it differently. I mean, for instance, we'll ask something like, the smell of a fine-aged Riesling is most reminiscent of A, an NFL locker room, B, a Greyhound bus depot, or C, a wet monkey.
There you go. You forgot Saddle Pony.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we only have room for A, B, and C. And then I explain, well, it's the Greyhound bus depot, and the reason for that is this petrol smell that it can develop over time that's characteristic of that. And so, you know, I like to teach in a way that people remember and that's fun and that's in stories. And I also love strange trivia.
Well, I think that's a great way to look at wine, and you're definitely part of the burgeoning group that I hope the Crush is part of. I like seeing wine demystified. I like seeing all the drama, all the glamour around it pulled down to baseline so that we realize that any and everybody can drink whenever they want to, regardless of whether they're going to be in the White House or not. Well, Jennifer, thank you very much for calling and being part of the Crush. I would love to have you back, and what we can do is we can drag some people off the street in and have a little fun with your wine teaser game.
All right, that'd be fun. And meanwhile, if anyone wants to take a look at it, they can find it on Amazon or on wineteasers.com.
And perfect. And for our listeners, you can go to winecrush.com, and we'll have a link up there shortly. Well, Jennifer, thank you very much for being part of the Crush, and keep on jesting, and we'll certainly keep in touch with you as things progress.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Take care. All right, it's fun to hear the other side and to know that there are other women out there who are just as crazy as I am and just as passionate and finding the fun side. And, of course, that's what we're hoping to do today as we bring presidential facts to you, is find the fun side of the grape. And, of course, it gives me a great chance to poke fun at politics. All right, we've got more great stuff ahead of us on the show. We'll take some of your emails. And, of course, we'll have Bruce Walker, president of Zap, calling in and giving us his insight. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a bit.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air, would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
8. We've worked together for years.
7. I'm the parking attendant. I park your car every day.
1 in 8 Americans is struggling with hunger.
6. We speak at PTA meetings all the time.
Including millions of children and seniors.
5. I went to summer camp with your son last year.
4. I'm your old friend. We went to high school together.
Someone you know is in need.
3. I work at the gas station. I pump your gas.
2. I'm your neighbor. Our kids are classmates.
Who's the 1 in 8 in your life that needs help?
1. We live next door to each other.
You can make a difference through Feeding America and its nationwide network of more than 200 food banks. Take action at feedingamerica.org/1in8. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
From time to time, we've been tempted to believe that society has become too complex to be managed by self-rule, that government by an elite group is superior to government for, by, and of the people. But if no one among us is capable of governing himself, then who among us has the capacity to govern someone else?
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. It is your First Lady of Wine, Laura Lawson, guiding you through the inaugural bout about looking at wines and the fun part of the presidential facts. You know, I think all of us forget, because you think the White House is so staid and they're so diplomatic, that wine can't really be a part of that, nor alcohol can be a part of that. But this is interesting. You start picking up little facts. Obviously, we all know about Jefferson and his obsession with the grape, but you don't think about the rest of the presidents. Here's what's interesting, though. It wasn't until Johnson got into office that he realized we're a big wine-producing nation. So it was Johnson who decided that only California wines needed to be served at the White House for visiting dignitaries. Now, this does lead to some political implications, and I would hate to be the sommelier, or as they're called at the White House, the usher, who had to figure out, if they had a head of New Zealand coming, which California winemaker owned property in New Zealand and had spent more than 2 weeks there, so it would all relate back to the guest at hand. Wouldn't want that job. You couldn't pay that job for me. But as we're talking about Johnson and we're talking about the presidents deciding that California wine needed to be sold, here's what I love. It's Tricky Dick who broke that whole idea. He loved the idea of serving wine at the White House, but he didn't quite have a palate for California wine. So what did he do? He told all the sommeliers when he was drinking his French champagne and his Bordeaux that all the wine needed to be covered with a napkin. That way everyone could assume they were just drinking outstanding California vintages. Way to go. Sneaky even in his alcohol. Way to go, Dick. All right, we do say that this show is about you, and in that light, we are going to take an email right now. This email is from Teresa out of Georgia. Teresa writes, is there a way to know what wines will open up after decanting? Well, Teresa, to open up a wine, that means you have to take the cork out. So in essence, all of them are going to be opened when they're decanted. But I don't think that's quite the answer you're looking for. Generally, you decant wines, the young, full-bodied reds, things like California Cabernet of 2004-2005, great example of wines that need to be decanted. Also, your big, robust, older wines. When you look at wines probably right now from the mid-80s, great wines to decant. You do that for two reasons with the older wines. The first, obviously, if you're drinking California Cabernet, you're drinking Bordeaux, even some Burgundy. When you have the old wines, they form sediment, which is just the color particles falling out of the wine. And that's really not a great thing to drink. Doesn't do much for your palate, doesn't do much for your teeth. So by decanting, what you do is you have all the solid fall to the bottom of the bottle. And by decanting it, hopefully you leave all the sediment in the bottle. So young, robust reds, your older reds, I personally like to decant my ports too, simply because it's easier to pour. It gives you a good idea of how much is left in the bottle. Plus, it does help those wines open up a little bit. Whites, I would say almost never do you decant a white unless you're doing older Burgundy. And as far as champagne, well, that kind of defeats the purpose. You kill all the bubbles. One note, though, when you're decanting older wines, some of us love to keep our wines long past their shelf life, kind of like men, right, ladies? So once you do that, once you make that wine come into contact with air, it can deteriorate rapidly. So be very, very careful when you decant older wines. They're going to change the moment air hits them, and they will continue to change for the next 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes if they last that long. But they can also deteriorate in the first 5 minutes. So be careful with your older wines. Pick and choose carefully what you're going to put in that decanter. Therese, I hope that helps you out a little bit. And please do write us back and let us know what you're decanting. Let us know if it's worthwhile and something you had fun drinking. So something that this kind of goes hand in hand with, we talk about what the presidents are drinking. We talk about their habits in the White House. We talk, of course, about decanting. So you figure all of this has to go hand in hand with the pervasive question that keeps going around the wine world and the one that my brain is stuck on. For those of you who will take the time to go to winecrush.com, you can certainly read this on my blog. But here's what I want to know. What wine is being served at the inauguration? What are they pouring? Where did it come from? Was it donated? Did someone give it? Did they pay $225 a bottle, kind of recently like George Bush did for his Schaefer Hillside? What's being poured? How did they get a right to be poured? And honestly, what did they pay for it? If anyone out there has any insight or any ideas, either now or after the inauguration, please do enlighten us here at The Crush. We do take guidance well. And of course, inquiring minds always want to know. Moving on, more about you instead of less about me. An email. Once again, this is from Karen in Georgia as well. I wonder if she's neighbors with Teresa. What are the main components of wine? There are a lot of answers that come to mind immediately when this question is raised. But honestly, what I think you're asking about is what's in wine. Wine is grapes, period. At least you hope, period. Generally, wine is the byproduct of fermented grape juice. There are a lot of people who say that there's a lot of chemicals added. There's a lot of people who say they add oak, that they add sweeteners. Honestly, your hope is if you're buying California, French, Italian, basic wine, the only thing that's in that bottle is grapes. Stay away from the things like blackberry wine, mulberry wine, strawberry wine, especially if it's made somehow by members of my family, because you can count on the fact it's cut by golden grain. But other than that, you should be 100% grapes. There are people out there who will swear that there are chemical components added to make grape juice taste like tomatoes or taste it like red peppers. That's not true. It is all about the flavor that comes from the grape itself. The only thing ever added to wine, occasionally some sugar is added, for the simple fact sometimes grapes are underripe and they have to let the alcohol ferment, let the yeast ferment. Two, sulfites naturally occur in wine, but sometimes they are added to white wine to keep them from deteriorating. And three, finers are added, F-I-N-E-R-S. And what that means is occasionally some wineries use egg whites or some kind of clay particles to help filter and clear out the wine. But hopefully that answers your question. Wine are grapes. Cut and dried, very simple, very straightforward. Once again, for those of you who have more email questions, you can email us at info@winecrush.com. All right, we are moving on with our inaugurational show, welcoming Barack Obama into the White House. But, of course, we're going to take a small break, and when we come back, we are going to talk about a more pertinent president, at least for those of us who follow the great American grape, which is Zinfandel. We are going to have Bruce Walker, the president of the ZAP, Zinfandel Appreciation Society, Foundation. He's going to give us a little enlightenment about our homegrown grape, And hopefully we can dig some presidential facts out of him as well. So stay tuned. More on all this when we return.
Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro-lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. It works. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro-lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max. Easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles. Take it from Carroll Shelby.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean it.
Log on to Z-Max.com and find a retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
It is with sound mind and body that I, James Fredericks III, after fighting with all direct family members for decades, leave my entire fortune of $32 million to the one friend I had in the end, the package delivery guy, Matt Songer.
Woohoo! Yeah! I had a feeling about this. Uh-huh! I'm rich! Oh, this cannot be happening.
Actually, it's not happening.
What?
And it never will.
I don't get it.
There aren't even people here. That's just one of those murmuring sound effects.
Seriously?
Listen, if you want to have money in your future, don't rely on luck.
Huh.
Put $10 away each month. Cook once in a while instead of eating out.
Okay.
Pay down your high-interest credit cards.
Right.
Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow.
So, no inheritance?
No. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
And just to be clear, no inheritance, right?
Our fate as a nation and our future as a people rests not upon one citizen, but upon all citizens.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and we are continuing today's show talking about the presidential inauguration and, of course, the interesting facts that our country leaders have had when it comes to wine. But think about this and put them into whatever perspective you want to. Bush Jr. leaving the White House right now. He is a non-drinker. He went cold turkey in 1986. Never would have guessed that one. But think about also Lincoln. They always say that Lincoln owned grocery stores and he owned mercantile stores. No, actually, they were taverns. History has cleaned that up a little bit. But I think one of the most interesting things, and I love this, Jimmy Carter was a president who, in the White House, he and Rosalynn banned all alcohol except wine to be served in the White House. Now, of course, coming from Deep South, coming from Southern Georgia, of course, he's Southern Baptist. So what does he turn around and do now that he's out of office? He says that wine and winemaking are his greatest hobbies. And right now, Jimmy Carter makes his own private label wines. These are available for special charities. If you write them up, he'll donate a bottle to you so you can actually make money off it. But my favorite part of this is there's actually a special allergy warning on the back of the bottles. Warning, may contain peanuts. So you got to give the man credit. He didn't allow alcohol in the White House, but he certainly seems to have developed a sense of humor. So when it comes to developing a sense of humor, that means that you have to be quick on your feet. You have to be innovative. You think about a lot of great things. And that definitely describes our next guest. For those of you who have heard of Zap, you will be delighted to hear from this gentleman. We have Bruce Walker. He is the president of Zap and is getting ready to head off this year's festival. So, Bruce, the Zinfandel man of the hour, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Thanks, Laura. Thanks for having me on today. I think the timing with the inauguration is wonderful, given that Zinfandel is the uniquely American wine.
It is. It is the one grape that's truly ours. No one else grows Zinfandel. And just like no one else has a commander-in-chief, I figure you blend in well, especially being a president yourself. The red carpet is rolled out for you, but you've got to explain to us, what is Zap? Why am I listening? Is this a bug light? What are we doing here?
Sure. Zinfandel, the Zap organization, stands for Zinfandel Advocates and Producers. We have about 5,000 consumer members and about 300 winery members and, about 40 associate members. But we're a nonprofit educational organization dedicated to educating the public about Zinfandel, which really was the foundation for the entire wine industry here in the United States.
Well, Bruce, I just don't see how you can make a whole festival off all that white Zinfandel.
Well, and, as much as we make fun of white Zinfandel, we're red Zinfandel producers, and, we do take our hats off to white Zinfandel nonetheless, since without white Zinfandel, a lot of the old vine Zinfandel, many of which is over 100 years old here in California, would have been pulled up.
Oh, I don't disagree, and there's a lot of us who will admit the fact that white Zinfandel definitely pays the light bills.
It sure does. We don't make any at Starry Night where I'm from, but, and I don't know when the last time I had some was, but, it's all about Zinfandel.
Well, speaking of that, your Zap Festival is coming up on January 28th, and to our listeners, I have had the pleasure of attending Zap twice. It actually may be three times, and even though Bruce talked about the educational aspect of this, Bruce, will you please explain exactly what our listeners could expect if they walk down to Fort Mason January 28th?
Well, it's actually 4 days of activities. We start off on Wednesday the 28th with flights, which is actually at City College this year.
Okay.
We're doing it in conjunction with them. And that's an educational day-long seminar. This year, it's really about blending other varietals with Zinfandel. Many of the vineyards, the older ones, have field blends, but a lot of producers now blend other grapes like Mourvèdre, Petit Sirah, Carignan, and other varietals in Zinfandel, and making some really unique blends. Then Thursday is actually my favorite event, and that is at Fort Mason, and it's called Good Eats in Zinfandel, and it's 50 wineries paired with 50 really high-end restaurants with some amazing, specially prepared pairings, and that goes on from 6 to 9 p.m. at Fort Mason. Friday, we have our evening with the winemakers, which are 40 winemakers. We have a live auction. It really is our major fundraiser of the year. And then the major event is the Grand Zinfandel Tasting, the largest single varietal tasting in the world, which happens on Saturday, January 31st at Fort Mason. 260 wineries pouring between, 800 and 1,000 Zinfandels for what is usually around 8,000 to 10,000 people. So it's kind of the World Series and the Super Bowl of wine tastings all rolled into one.
And this can be for amateurs or professionals, and it's fun. Usually after the third hour, you can tell which is which. But regardless of whether you're listening to us in California, Wisconsin, Arizona, South Carolina, if you haven't made travel plans and you want to get away, this is one of the most fun, the most educational, and hands down, one of the coolest wine tastings and events there are. Bruce, my hat's off to you. It is one of my favorite tastings, and I think everyone could benefit by experiencing this just once.
And it's a kind of thing where you get a chance to meet winemakers, you meet people from all over the country, in fact, all over the world. It's just a lot of fun.
Well, here's what I do recommend. Definitely reach out, check out the website, learn about Zap, the www.zinfandel.org, and check out what they're doing. And, of course, Bruce Walker, I think he made a small reference to this, but if you want to know about this wonderful man, check out starrynightwinery.com.
Thanks, Laura.
Well, Bruce, thank you for being part of the show. I am sorry I'm going to miss you in January, but hopefully we can catch you some other time. And we'll have to have you back on the show, because I love the stories that happen after the Saturday Zap tasting. So while you're there, take notes so you can tell us all the funny stories.
I will. It's pretty crazy, and I want to invite all your listeners to stop by and say hi to me.
All right. Well, it sounds good. And, Bruce, we'll reach back out to you after you get through Zap.
Great. Thanks, Laura.
In all sincerity, those of you who are close enough or are planning to go, I give you three pieces of advice. One, bring a toothbrush. Two, wear black. Three, spit. Spit and then spit some more. Great event, but definitely give it a run. And here's a side note. For those of you who decide to actually attend Zap, do us a favor. Take pictures, write stories, and put them up on our website. You can reach us at winecrush.com. There's a great blog there where I'd love to hear your stories about how you survived Zap. Or you can call us, even call us from the event, 877-4-CRUSH-1. And for those of you who are texting BlackBerry emailing fools, email us info@winecrush.com. The more entertaining, the more ridiculous, the better. So we've had all of our presidential references. We've had a president of Zap come and talk to us. We've had presidential commentary. What else can I possibly come up with next? Well, you're going to have to stay tuned a little bit, because there's more intriguing, fun information here on The Crush when we return.
If you're self-employed or run a small business, you know your business bottom line. But do you know your bottom line when it comes to your family's health insurance? The Mega Life and Health Insurance Company helps self-employed folks and small business owners focus on the bottom line every day when it comes to their health insurance plans. Here's the bottom line. If you don't have the right health insurance plan, you could be in trouble. Check your health insurance coverage today and call Mega, where the bottom line is quality health insurance designed for the self-employed and small business owners.
Call now for your free health insurance quote. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. That's 800-700-5437.
Market and plans vary by state. Not licensed in New York. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Association group plans, where available, require association membership.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? You're not alone. Increasing prices and the costs of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts in collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153.
Well, howdy! Thanks for coming to Big Bubba's. We got a mess of used cars. What can we do for you?
We're looking for,
something cute.
Well, here's a beauty. A 99 model with a moonroof. As a bonus, we'll throw in a leaking gas tank. You could be driving and kaboom! Adds that zing of excitement.
You got any other cars?
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Time and chance have put us not only at the edge of a new century and a new millennium, but on the edge of a bright new prospect in human affairs. A moment that will define our course and our character.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. And for the last time I get to use this is your first Lady of Wine, Laura Lawson, your Chardonnay sipping diva, hoping that you have had as much fun on the Crush today as I have. It's always fun to get off on my favorite topics, politics, alcohol, and sarcasm. You put them all together and you're always going to have maybe not a great night, but at least an interesting day. That's the way I look at things. Well, we encourage you, reach out. Let us know what you've thought about the show. You can reach us at 877-4-CRUSH-1. You can email us at info@winecrush.com. And of course, I encourage you personally, reach out to me on my blog on thewinecrush.com. My producer tells me also to remind you, we are downloadable as an iPod tune thing. Bear with me, understand my age. Once you go to thewinecrush.com, you will see my picture and know that I don't really follow the iTunes kind of thing, but you can find us there. But also, we now have a Facebook page, and we ask all of you, come be a friend of The Wine Crush and check out our Facebook page. So now that I have covered all the technical things and my producer can walk out of the studio without beating me over the head with a baseball bat, let's touch base on the fine-tuning of today's show. It's all about politics. And in politics, what do? You vote. You put your money where your mouth is. And that's what I love to ask you to do here at The Crush. Put your money where your mouth is. Find your brands, regardless of politics, regardless of creed, regardless of anything else. Buy what you like. These are interesting times, and you need to support the wineries that have supported you all along. So regardless of what your friends think or whatever new and creative wine that some mass marketing company is coming up with today, remember your favorites that got you to the table and stay by those. I want to end the presidential idea and the inauguration show on a couple of comments, and I think these are probably the best ones, and I know there's a reason why I loved FDR so much. Understand that FDR was the man who actually ended Prohibition. So, of course, he is going to be a big friend of mine. But what he actually said, he called Prohibition a damnable affliction. And I think if you sit back and you listen to politics and everything that has been said in the media, I think that holds true as the whole theme for the show. So, I'm Laura Lawson, signing off on the title of the First Lady of Wine, but reminding you, as always, sip socially, drink responsibly, but always remember, in vino veritas, in wine there is truth.